We're going to do something a little bit different tonight. And, you know, there is a saying that if we don't learn from history, we will repeat the same mistakes that these others made. And that is very true. We simply have to look around us and we see people making all kinds of mistakes. So I want us to think about a little bit of history tonight. We're not going to look at verses. We're going to look at chapters. In Genesis, we're going to start at chapter 37. And we're going to go through chapter 41 tonight. And then next week, we'll finish up this particular incident that God has told us about. Because there's a lot that we can learn from it. God has placed stories in the Bible for his children to learn from. They're not just there as a interesting story. If you read a murder mystery, you read it through and you find out how it comes out, usually you don't read it again because you already know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, who's going to do it, and all those things. But the Bible is not like that. The Bible is a book that we can learn from. Every time we read it, we will see something new. And it's when we see this something new that God is expanding our lives. He is giving us additional revelation. And additional revelation doesn't make us necessarily smarter, but it can make us wiser. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to be looking at the life of Joseph. A portion of it tonight, and then next Sunday night we'll finish it up. It's the story of Joseph, who God had some kind of an insight that we don't read it in the Word of God, but Joseph must have had some supernatural understandings that made him very unique, and he was very unique in his life. And by the time we get through tonight, I think you'll understand why he was so unique. Somehow, he understood what God was doing with him, and he went along with it. And that was the neat part. He went along with it. So he had to have some insight. He wasn't a scholar. They didn't have scripture back then. Not at that point. Scripture had not been written. Joseph lived before Moses did. Moses wrote the first five books. And so he didn't have scripture to learn from, and yet somehow he perceived what was going on. So we're going to begin with the story with chapter 37 of Genesis. And let's look at the first 11 verses. Genesis 37, beginning at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Remember that he married two people. He married Leah and Rachel. He intended just to marry Rachel, but he was tricked by Laban, and he wound up with Leah and Rachel. Rachel was barren, so she gave her maid to Abraham to have children, and that was Zilpah. And so the maids were also his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father an evil report about his brothers. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made Joseph coats of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Sounds like when you were growing up and you had brothers and sisters, right? All right. And Joseph, verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now at this point, something has taken place in Joseph's heart. Joseph dreamed two dreams, and they were actually prophetic. What he dreamed did happen in the future, but it didn't happen right away. It took years, years for these two dreams to come about. So the story starts out with Joseph being the object of hatred of his brethren because his father was playing favorites. Now we are told we are to treat all of our children alike, and that comes from a Bible principle. God is no respecter of persons. So we see already that Jacob violated that godly principle. He was a respecter of person. He respected his son, Joseph. And so the brothers had great resentment against Joseph. Now, this was more than just resentment. There is more than they were just being mean to him. Because we will see, some of them were going to kill him. And that's what Cain did to Abel, his brother. So when Joseph had these dreams, he must have known that they came from God. This is the only place that I can find where God could have communicated with Joseph to give him an idea of what was going to take place. Because nowhere else do we see God in communication with Joseph other than these two dreams. So, God made his brothers even more envious. And we're told that his father took note of what was happening. Now, I think that Jacob was not a very intellectually favored man. I don't think he was a wizard, okay? I don't think he was very bright, actually, to show favor toward one son. And he had to see that these other sons were very disturbed by that. So he did what he should not have done. And then he got up and decided, well, I'm going to send Joseph to check on his brothers and bring back a report, because he believed Joseph. He shouldn't have sent Joseph. He should have sent a slave. And he had slaves. He had lots of them. But he should have sent a slave, so he sent Joseph. Now, either he didn't know that Joseph was hated by his brothers, so hated, or he was goading his brothers. And anyway, God had a plan that we will see later. God was in this thing. Sometimes God gets us to do things that we don't understand, we don't see God working in a situation. And when he is doing this, there will be some other things that have to take place. And one thing that happens, and then another thing happens. And pretty soon, you find that all of this was God's will. And this was God's will. God had a plan. We have to remember that, people. God always has a plan. He's got a plan right now for all of us. We may not know what it is, but we can be assured that he does have a plan. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. I don't want to fight God. I want to be on his side all the way. I don't want to fight because I never win when I fight God. Neither do you. And so God had a plan here. So I think that Jacob understood that he was to send Joseph, but I don't know that he fully understood what the consequences would be. So God was using the circumstance to make his will work out the way that he had planned it. So let's look at Scripture again, Genesis 37, beginning at verse 18 through 36. And when they saw him afar off, his brothers, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They were going to kill him. And they said to one another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Those dreams really bothered them. They were of God. They really bothered them. I don't believe his brothers had much to do with God at all. And so they were going to throw him in a pit. And verse 21, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Reuben planned to save Joseph. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let us not lay our hand upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph unto Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned to his brother and said, the child is not, and whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, thus have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. They were being very deceptive. They had planned to be deceptive, and they carried out their plan. And it says, and he knew it, that's Jacob, and said, it's my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him to Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Now, Jacob had planned on rescuing, Reuben had planned on rescuing him. When he found him not in the hole, he already went into mourning. He figured that maybe the rest of his brothers had killed him. So here's Jacob. or here's Joseph being sold as a slave to a people he probably didn't even speak their language. And they took him down to Egypt. And what a coincidence that they sold him to Potiphar, who happened to be the captain of the guard. We would say that. No, it was no coincidence. It was part of God's plan. And so, folks, if you are in the will of God, let him work his plan in your life. You may not understand it. I'm sure Joseph didn't. But Joseph, we don't hear a word of complaint from him. Not a word. He must have understood that God had a plan that he was working. God was moving and working his will with Joseph. You understand at this point, everything looked bad for Joseph, but Joseph did not react the way that he could have or should have. I believe that he knew something about God's working in his life. It has to go back to those dreams. He had to understand. Like I said, what a coincidence they sold him to Potiphar. You think that that was part of God's plan? I think it was. On this side of God's plan, it's easy to look back and see what he's doing. And the same way in our lives. If we look back and we see God's plan taking place in our lives, we can see where God didn't make the decision for us, but guided us in the decision we made. And I think he did this. I'd like for you to notice that there were many parts to God's plan. It wasn't just this, this, and this. There were many parts to it. Everything had to fall into place just perfectly. And God is in control. He's in control of this situation. He was. And he was working it out his way for his own glory. And so God had Joseph headed for Pharaoh's service. But neither one knew it yet. We all remember that Potiphar's wife wanted to develop a relationship with Joseph. Joseph was probably pretty handsome. He was 17 when he was sold into slavery, just 17 years old. He hadn't learned yet what life was all about, but I believe that he was trusting God. And so Potiphar's wife wanted to develop a relationship with Joseph, and Joseph knew that it would be wrong. And as Bobby was teaching us this morning in Sunday school about sin having consequences, and sometimes some sin was pleasurable, it would have been possible for Joseph to get involved with Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar might never have known it. But Joseph wanted to please God, and he knew he was pleasing God by doing what he was doing. And so when she grabbed him one day, he went into the house to do his errands. She was the only one in the house. All the other men were gone. And she grabbed him by his cloak, and he fled. He ran out of his cloak. He just left it with her. And that gave her the ammunition she needed to. There's nothing like a woman's revenge, okay? A woman scorned, okay? And she was definitely being scorned by him. So she complained that he had attacked her and tried to do some things. So Joseph wound up in prison. And again, what a coincidence that he wound up in Pharaoh's prison, where Pharaoh had some of his people, sent some of his people at a later time. Remember, all this time was passing. Joseph was learning. Joseph was experiencing things, and most of them weren't very pleasant. Most of them were pretty bad. God's plan for us has a plan for us. And usually we really resist to the point that we sometimes step out of God's will in a plan. It is so clear if we look back at our lives and at the history of our lives that God has been working and we have been going along with it, or we have been fighting him. And sometimes we fight them, and there are consequences to that. Joseph, I don't see any fighting here. I don't see any resistance. I see Joseph permitting God to do what he wanted to do. And that's the way our lives should be. We should be able to let God be God, and we should be content. Remember Paul said, in whatsoever state I am therewith, I've learned to be content. And so Joseph seemed to be content, even in prison, content. And so he was there, and while he was in prison, Pharaoh sent his baker and his butler to prison. Pharaoh got mad at them. They evidently weren't doing their job the way he wanted it done. Again, what a coincidence that these two men, and when they got there, they had problem. They had dreams too. And Joseph told them all about it. Joseph had a skill or an ability that God had given him, and he was using it for God. So he waited for God's next move. Does it seem natural the way that Joseph acted? He had to know that there was something not recorded in Scripture regarding this part of his life. One of two things must be true. Either Joseph was a fatalist, and a fatalist is someone who thinks, well, it's going to happen no matter what I do. And the Arabs are fatalists. Islam is a fatalist religion. They believe they do not control their life. They believe that God, not our God, their Allah, who is a liar, who is a cheat, their Allah is in control of their life, and they have nothing they can do about it. They will step out off the curb in front of you if you are not watching. If there's a bus coming, they'll step out in front of the bus, and they'll say, well, if it's God's will, I die, I die. And, if you get stopped, one night, I was coming back from the base, headed for home. Connie and I lived the other side of Adana, Turkey. And there was about 10 guys strung out across the road, walking arm in arm. They were going to stop all the traffic. And I had rented a car from a Turk. And so I just stopped. I let him walk down the road a little bit. And by the way, the road was bordered by barbed wire on both sides. And so I just let him walk out ahead of me, and then I raced the engine, put it in first gear, and I headed their way. They heard that car coming. They took out a lot of barbed wire that night. They weren't as fatalistic as they thought. So I believe that God was using him. And Joseph was not a fatalist. I think he knew that God was working through him. I don't believe that he was a fatalist because a fatalist would say, well, this is what has been permitted to happen to me, and there's nothing I can do about it. And sometimes our lives are like that. God puts us in a position that we cannot change, we cannot fix, but that position he puts us in is his will for us at the moment. Joseph didn't respond that way. He simply accepted what was happening, and he patiently waited to see what God was going to do next. I believe that Joseph understood that God was using him and that the outcome would make everything all right. We need to believe that. We need to believe that God is in control of our life. And he will not destroy us. He sent his son to give us eternal life. So I believe that God was using Joseph as a prophet. And the dreams must have been an indication to him that God was going to do something special with his life. It hadn't happened yet, but he was willing to wait. Remember, years were passing, people. Years were passing. It wasn't a matter of weeks or months. It was years. So time spent in captivity was not just a few weeks or months. It was years. Could you be patient for years, waiting to see what God was going to do? We need to be. Remember that Joseph had no active part in what was happening to him. He did not do any of this or plan any of this or be involved in it other than to be the victim. He had taken no actions that resulted in placing him where he was. Here he was in prison. Well, we remember the story of the butler and the baker being put in prison, Joseph and his appeal to them. After he interpreted their dreams, he asked them to remind Pharaoh that he needed to be turned loose. And so time passed. They got out. The butler got out, and he was going to do his service to Pharaoh. The baker didn't get out. The baker had his head taken off, which is what Joseph had predicted. So that left it up to the butler. And the butler got out, and he just went his own way. He forgot about all the things he was supposed to do for Joseph. We sometimes get that like that. We think we're going to do something, or we promise somebody that we'll do something, or we'll look into it, and we just don't do it. We get sidetracked. We get delayed. So God's plan was coming together, and Joseph was about to become involved with the ruler of the nation of Egypt. Suddenly, Joseph was the center of attention, and this time it was for good. Let's look at the record. As we look at the record, 2 more years passed. 2 more years he was there in that prison. Many years were involved in getting Joseph to where God intended to have him. God doesn't just snap his fingers and we wind up doing whatever it is he wants. Sometimes it takes years to develop the situation. In this case, it did take years. So let's go to Genesis 41, verses 1 through 16. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, that's cows, and fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored, these were skinny, just bones and skin. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed a second dream, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and he put me in word in the captain of the guardhouse, both me and the chief butler. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream did he interpret. Joseph had a gift from God. That gift, I believe, gave him peace and the ability to wait and be patient. And he interpreted our dreams to each man according to the dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. He restored to mine office, and him he hanged. And that's exactly what took place. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, this is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So Joseph was giving the credit for his abilities to where they belonged. He was giving it to God, which is the same thing that you and I should be doing. As we go through the day, we should be saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for helping me do this. Thank you for helping me do that. Thank you, God. Because God is the one who permits us to do the things we do. He caused us to be born with the ability or with the talent. And so he is in control. But we must remember that it is him. God molded us and shaped us into the person that we are. What you are tonight, God has helped shape you to that. If we're not what we should be, then we've interfered with God's plan and God's work in choosing to be rebellious against God, of wanting our own way. And many times we do want our own way. When it comes to family, when it comes to loved ones, we give them priority ahead of God. And we should not do that. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph simply went along with whatever God was going to do. And so he chose to let God have his way in all things. And Joseph wound up as a ruler in Egypt. He was second only to Pharaoh. You know, it's amazing to me that Joseph could be so patient. He was just 17 when he was first sold into slavery, and he did not rebel. Joseph had to be somewhere around 30 years old when he went to work for Pharaoh. Can you imagine 13 years waiting for something to happen? 13 years. We get impatient if it takes a year. We get impatient if it takes more than a couple of months. But he had 13 years, approximately 13, where he just let God do the thing that needed to be done. So the character that he displayed for 13 years is absolutely fantastic, if you think about it. This is much of Joseph's story. This much of Joseph's story causes me to ask the question of myself, could I have done as well as Joseph? Could you have done as well as Joseph? I don't think so. I fear that I couldn't have. And I would not have done as well as he did. How would you do if it seemed that everyone was against you? Because that's the way Joseph's life was. His brothers were all against him. The people who sold him into slavery were against him. His slave boss was against him. This is what God is doing, and what God is doing in your life may seem to be rubbing you the wrong way, or that seems to be frustrating you about something that you have no control over. There are things that we don't see coming because we're not looking at the situation to self-destruct. Suddenly you find yourself in the middle of someone else's mess. The sad part of this issue is that biblical principles have been violated, usually. And like Humpty Dumpty, things can't be put back together again. That's our fault, because we have stepped out of God's will or God's permissive will. Now, I know we're early tonight. I'm going to stop here rather than get into the rest of Joseph's life, which you already know. But just think about Joseph. Think about the fact that all the things that were what we would call bad that happened to him. His brothers wanted to kill him. They were planning on killing him. He just permitted God to do what God was going to do. And God got him out of that first pit, sold him to the Mennonites, and he was sold to Potiphar in Egypt. Then he worked for Potiphar for years. And he was getting along fine till Potiphar's wife lied about him. And Potiphar really believed that Joseph was that kind of a person. But he wasn't. He didn't make up excuses. You don't hear anything, read anything in Scripture about his complaining or making excuses for himself. He just went along with it. He was put in prison. The leader of the prison saw something in Joseph that he turned over the operation of the prison to Joseph. If a person has character, it's going to show. If you have character, it's going to show to other people. And so he turned over the prison to Joseph, and Joseph was there when the baker and the butler were put in prison by Pharaoh. He did them a favor. They dreamed a dream, each one. He interpreted the dream correctly for God, for them. And then 2 more years go by, and Joseph is still by himself in the prison. The baker has his head chopped off. The butler returns to giving the cup to Pharaoh. And then when Pharaoh has a dream, the baker suddenly remembers, I was supposed to tell you about this young man. Isn't that something? He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And God, this was all part of God's plan. God needed the right person, Pharaoh, to be in Egypt, because what Joseph was going to do in interpreting his dream was going to cause him to have full confidence in Joseph. And we will see that when we look at Joseph again next Sunday night and what he does. Joseph does have just a little mean streak, by the way. You will see that next Sunday night. But he wasn't very mean. He's just a little mean, okay? So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for governing our lives. Thank you for being our Lord. Thank you, Father, for directing us, directing our lives. We would ask, Father, as we stand before your throne tonight, that you would help us. I'm not going to pray for patience, because patience comes through tribulation. And we all have enough of that in our lives. I'm going to pray for grace, Father, your sovereign grace being poured out into our lives to help us understand what you are doing with us and for us. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for giving us a purpose in life. And Father, we would ask, as we meet together here, as we serve you together, help each one of us find our place. Help each one of us know that you are in control. And help us, Father, to glorify you with our lives. And we will praise you for everything that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.